Over 25 years ago, God gave me the privilege of getting to know Mark Dutton. And Mark and I and several other guys were in college together, and God gave unto us a passion for Him, a passion for His Word. And through these years, we've been able to be, even at a distance, friends and a source of encouragement. And this day has been a long day in coming. For you, it's like somebody that you really love and care for, who you want them to meet other people that you really love and care for. And as much as I've wanted you to have an opportunity through the years to hear Mark preach and be part of Lori's ministry, I've wanted them to get a chance to know you. People who love the Word, love the Lord of the Word, and love the preaching and singing of the Word. I ask for you, give to Mark Dutton a warm Cornerstone welcome this morning.
Well, it is exciting and it's a joy to be here. This has been some time in coming. I've heard about you guys. Bobby's been telling me about what God's been doing in your heart and in your lives and just in the church here. And this is really an exciting day. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles, yeah, that's back in the Old Testament. It's not a common book you hear about very much, but man, has it got some truth in it. Some time ago, a pastor of a very large church of about 10,000 people, was asked a question. Why is this church the way it is? Referring to the size and the various ministries. In other words, why is God blessing this ministry so much? The response of the pastor, I think, was very insightful and very gracious. He made the statement, he said, "This church is the way it is because that's the way God has chosen it to be." And I think that's a very correct theological answer. I think it's an accurate answer. I think it's ultimately the ultimate answer. To look around and why does God bless us? It's because He chooses to bless us. But I also think to a certain degree that it's an incomplete answer. It's true, God is sovereign and God does whatever pleases Him. He's holy and God cannot make a mistake. So everything that He does is right. It's for His glory, which He deserves because He's the true and living God. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. And He made man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into us the breath of life. But there's another element that we do need to factor into the question asked that pastor. Why is God blessing this ministry so much? I fully agree. The ultimate answer is found in the nature and character of God. He is the covenant-keeping God of Israel. In fact, you can go back to Genesis 3:15 where God made this statement. He said, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head and you shall bruise him on the heel." That was God's sovereign choice to make that promise. And to fulfill that promise, by the way, in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the very seed of the woman that He spoke of. You can go back to Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. The Lord said to Himself in the promise to Noah, He said, "I will never again curse the ground on the account of man." And to this day, God has kept that promise. And the New Testament tells us the next time the earth is destroyed, it's going to be destroyed by fire and by the word of His mouth. And I might add that He's going to recreate the heavens and the earth because sometimes we just don't get it the first time around. And we look and we step back from creation and we realize, wait a minute, God did create the heavens and the earth. And God once again going to demonstrate His power and His omnipotence when He recreates the heavens and the earth for His glory. You can go back to Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abraham in the Abrahamic covenant, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your houses to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation and I will bless you and make your name great." Why did God do that? Because God chose to do that. He chose Abraham and He said, "I'll bless those who bless you and those who curse you, I will curse." And the point simply is this, God blesses whom He chooses to bless. Because folks, God is a God of grace, is He not? And He is a God of mercy. God's grace is Him giving to us what we do not deserve. And His mercy is God withholding from us what we do deserve. And after the Exodus from Egypt, the Lord reinforced this truth to Moses as He wrote to Israel, God's people, in Deuteronomy 7. He said, "The Lord did not set His love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any of the peoples. For you were fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which He swore to your forefathers." Why does God do what He do? Why does God bless this ministry? Why does God bless any of us? Because God chooses to bless us. That is certainly the case. But the question, why did God do this, still needs to be asked. Why? What is the motive? How did we get to this place of blessing? How do we stay in this place of blessing? How can we be in a position for God's future blessings? Maybe some of the questions we need to ask are this. Is there anything we can do to be in a position of God's blessing? Or you might ask the question, do the choices that you and I make have anything to do with God's blessings? I think the following verses indicate that while we do not merit God's blessings can certainly be explained by a few things. Deuteronomy 11:26. "See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse." What did God say to the nation of Israel? "If you obey me, I'll bless you. If you disobey me, then I'm going to curse you." Deuteronomy 7:9. "Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousand generations." Notice this. "With those who love Him and keep His commandments." Why does God bless us? Because He chooses to bless us. But my friends, can we put ourselves in a position of God's blessings? Absolutely. You might make the argument, well, that's the Old Testament, Mark, and God's dealing with the nation of Israel. We're in the New Testament, man. Wake up, look around. We're in the New Testament. We're talking about the church. Okay, let's go to the New Testament and let me remind you of a couple of verses. Jesus said this, "If you know these things, you will be blessed if you" what? "If you do them." You'll be blessed if you do them. You'll be blessed if you do them. Christianity is a religion of action. It's a religion of doing something. It's running the race. I like what Bob said in the new membership class. I never talked to him about this. He never talked to me. But we say the same thing. If you're looking for a church where you're going to come and sit in the pew and be comfortable, then don't come here. Because that's not what Christianity is about. We've had to tell folks sometimes, look, if you just want to be comfortable, Faith Baptist Church is not for you. That's what Bob said in the class this morning. If you want to be comfortable, Cornerstone Baptist Church is not for you. Because Christianity is not a religion of comfort. It's not just come and sit in on Sunday morning and kind of check it off. Yep, went to church. Got that done. Now I can do whatever I want for the next 7 days. No, it's about passionately serving our God. About finding out what does He want us to do and obey those commandments and aggressively seek to bring glory to the God that we've been singing our praises to this morning. If you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. What about Paul's words in Galatians? "If you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap eternal life." You might be thinking this morning, well, Mark, are there any examples in the Bible of God's blessings being dependent upon a person's actions? The answer is yes. And it's contained in 2 Chronicles 26. And we're going to be talking this morning about seeking the Lord, a position of blessing. And I want you to think about this. If God allows Cornerstone Baptist Church another year of serving Him, okay, if the Lord allows you another year of serving Him, what do you as a church, you as a family, or you as an individual, what do you need to do that will put your church in a position of God's blessings and thereby be more effective for the glory of our God? What can you do as a church? What can you do as an individual? Consider a couple of these following verses, Daniel 11:32. "But the people who know their God will be strong and take action." Listen, if we're going to do anything, whether it's in Lafayette or what city are we in, Bob? Detroit, whatever, Rose. I've been in Portland. I've been in Colorado. I've been all over the place. I got to say, where am I this morning? But wherever you are and whatever we're going to do for God, it's going to be because we know our God. The people that you know their God shall be strong and take action. It's because of knowing who God is and what He's done that motivates us to do what we do. How about Psalm chapter 9, verse 10? And those who know Your name will put their trust in You. For You, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek You. Do you know Christ this morning? Do you know Him as your personal Savior? Are you really seeking Him out? Is there a hungering and a thirsting after righteousness in your heart that says, God, I want to know You more. I want to understand who You are. And frankly, when I look at the Scriptures, you know, a lot of people think the Bible, man, that's just one honking long book. You know what? It's really not that long. 66 books to explain the God of heaven who made the heavens and the earth. I think that's a relatively short book. And a lot of people talk about, well, the Bible, man, it's Mark, it's so hard to understand. No, it's not. Now, there's some parts of the Bible that, you know, we're still working at getting our arms around it, right, Bob? Where you study the Scriptures and you're still trying to understand some of those passages. But you know what? Most of the Bible is fully understandable. It's not that we don't understand it. It's that we have trouble obeying it, right? I mean, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. I mean, you kind of got to ask, okay, what is it about that don't you get? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. I fully understand that. You know what my problem is? I have a hard time obeying that all the time. Because of Christ's example. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. I mean, some of the commands in God's Word is like, okay, I got that. It's the obedience part that we really have the trouble with. And our study this morning takes us to an Old Testament passage and a man by the name of Uzziah. Uzziah was the 10th king of Judah, the two southern tribes of the nation of Israel. And this particular chapter tells us a lot about this man and his life. Now, before we read the text, I want to remind you of Paul's words. Say, Mark, what in the world are you doing preaching to a local church about 2 Chronicles 26? Because of what Paul said in Romans 15:4. For whatever is written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Folks, we can learn some things from this passage this morning that will put your church, our church, the body of Christ, in a better position of God's blessings. And I'm assuming this morning, and I'll ask you the question, do you want God to keep blessing His place? That'd be a good time for an amen, all right? Let's try that again. Do you want God to keep blessing His place? Amen. Amen. Absolutely. You know, we drove over here and we drove by houses. And, you know, at least as a pastor, when you drive by those houses, you look and you think, I wonder if that family knows Christ. I wonder if that family knows Jesus. I wonder what's going on in that home and what can we as a church do to minister to them? Listen, you guys got a lot of people around you here. And God's given you a tremendous opportunity. And obviously, He's blessing you. What can you do to be in a position of God's blessings? 2 Chronicles 26, verse 1. Let's read it together. And all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the place of his father Amaziah. And he built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king had slept with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. That's an awesome responsibility for a teenager. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. At Jechaliah, her name literally means in the Hebrew, Jehovah is able. That's an interesting point. He did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah. That's not Zechariah, the author of the book later in the Old Testament. This is a different individual who had understanding through the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. That's our key phrase this morning. As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. Now he went out and warred against the Philistines and broke down the walls of Gath and the walls of Jabneh and the walls of Ashdod. And he built cities in the area of Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gerbaal and the Menuites and the Ammonites who gave tribute to Uzziah. And his fame extended to the borders of Egypt, for he had become very strong. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and the corner buttresses and fortified them. And he built towers in the wilderness. This is the military conquest of this guy, and God blessed him. And he hewed out many cisterns, for he had much livestock, both in the lowland and in the plains. He also had plowmen and vine dressers in the hill country and fertile lands, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army ready for battle, which entered combat by divisions according to the number of their muster, prepared by Jeiel, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the official, under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's officers. Now watch this. The total number of the heads of the household of valiant warriors was 2,600. Under their direction was an elite army. Here comes the Marines of 307,500 who could wage war with great power to help the king against his enemy. Moreover, Uzziah prepared for all the army shields and spears and helmets and body armor, bows and sling stones, fully equipped. In Jerusalem, he made engines or devices of war invented by skillful men. These were kind of like the catapult things to be on the towers and on the corners for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. Hence his fame spread afar, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. Verse 16 is a transition. But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly. And he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Then Azariah the priest entered after him, and with 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men, they opposed Uzziah the king and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary. For you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord." Now, I wish the next verse said, "And Uzziah wisely listened to those who gave him counsel." Instead, verse 19 says, "But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged." He got ticked off. He got angry. And while he was enraged with the priest, the leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the altar of incense. Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous on his forehead. And they hurried him out of there. And he set himself, and he himself also hastened to get out because the Lord had smitten him. King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death. And he lived in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first to last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, has written. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the grave, which belonged to the kings. For they said, here's his epitaph, "He is a leper." And Jotham, his son, became king in his place. That's an awesome passage, and it teaches us four lessons that we can learn, very careful lessons that we need to consider this morning. Number one, God prospers those who seek Him. God prospers those who seek Him. You say, well, what does it mean to seek God? The idea of seeking God means to resort to seek with care. It's not some casual attitude, but on purpose. He sought to recognize who God is and what He had done, recognizing the exodus of Egypt and God leading Israel out of Egypt, recognizing the walls of Jericho coming crashing down. In short, Uzziah properly worshiped God and wanted to know Him better. Say, well, what does that include? That includes communication with God. That includes prayer. It includes going into the temple and offering sacrifices to the Lord. There was an element of knowing the law and the writing of Moses. But anyone who's truly seeking the Lord, it ultimately comes down to this: obedience. What does it mean to seek the Lord? To want to understand who He is and what He's done. And as a result of that, to be willing to be obedient, to do whatever God asks you to do. To seek God means to know Him better and understand what He wants you to do and then to do it. Our prayer for Cornerstone Baptist Church would be this, would be a body of individuals who are seeking God, people who are praying to God, asking for God's wisdom and God's blessing and God's strength. People who are worshiping God, not just on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday as well. People who are going to be sacrificial in their service and their giving, and men and women who want to seek to understand God and who He is by understanding the book, men and women of the book to know God, and people who are willing to obey no matter what the cost. Now, what might that look like? What does that look like on a day-to-day basis around here? Well, let me challenge you with this a little bit. Think about your children's ministries. People being involved in that. That takes a lot of work in children's ministries to serve in that way. What about the youth ministries? The adult Bible fellowships and building relationships with each other. What about mercy ministry and showing compassion to each other? I had a couple in our church, a new couple that was just married. It's an interracial marriage. And they came and they said, "Mark, we want to serve." He said, "We love older people, and so we want to put together these baskets, and we want to take it to them, and we want to minister that way." They came to me. I didn't have to go to them. They came to me and said, "What can we do?" Talk about what wanting to be a servant. Those people came and said, "Hey, what can we do around here?" I would challenge you as a church, if you want to be in a position of God's blessing, go to your pastors or your elders and say, "Hey, what can I do? Pastor, what could I do that would minister to this church and help us be more effective?" I tell you what, that's a blessing when people does that, isn't it, Bob? People come to you and say, "Pastor, what can I do?" Some of you are approaching or you're at retirement age. Let me tell you this. Our view is retirement doesn't mean you've earned the right to be useless. Okay? That's our philosophy. Retirement doesn't mean you've earned the right to be useless and you can sit back and do nothing. Retirement means God has freed you up to be more effective. You got greater opportunities to serve. You got more time. You got gifts and abilities. And it's not sitting back in a rocking chair or sitting on a boat doing a fishing or the golfing or whatever you do during retirement. I got a long way to go. Bobby's way ahead of me in that. He's going to be an old man real soon one of these days. But that retirement thing, man, that frees you up for service. What can you do to be in a position of God's blessings? Seeking to use your gifts and abilities, whether it's teaching or music or hospitality. And here's my point. You can't say this morning you're seeking God if, number one, you're not growing in your relationship with Christ by reading and studying the Word. You can't say you're seeking God if you're not serving and looking for ways to reach out to others. You can't say you're seeking God if you're not trying to get connected to your church body by being here regularly and faithfully. God deliver us from the attitude of, "Well, the church is big enough, it can do without me." There's a sense where that's true. There's a sense where it's not true. There's a sense where it's true where, yeah, you could die today and what's going to happen? This church is going to keep moving forward for the glory of God. But there's another sense where it's not true because God has designed it and ordained it that the members of the body come together. That's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about in Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Coming together. Church is not just what you do on Sunday morning. Church is the body life. It's relating to each other. It's ministering together. It's serving and reaching out into the community. You say, "But Mark, man, that sounds like a lot of work." You're right. It does. But remember, Jesus Christ set the pace. He set the pace and modeled for us the expenditure of effort and energy and time. And remember this. Remember what our text says. As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. Are you seeking the Lord this morning? Are you a student of the Scriptures? Are you really desiring, do you have a heart of service for God that would say, "Lord, help me have the mind of Christ. Help me to serve like Christ. Help me to think like Christ and minister like Him. Lord, there's people all around us that are dying and they're going to hell. God, help me reach out to them. Help me be salt and light to them that they might see my good works and glorify our Father who's in heaven." That's what's motivating the ministry, is the glory of God and the proclamation of the gospel and meeting a person where they are and helping them take the next step. I'll be honest with you, sometimes in our outreach and ministries, you get all kinds of people coming into the church. And they got all kinds of problems and all kinds of baggage. We've had former convicts that got out of jail for murder. Served a 17-year sentence, and he was sentenced to 30 years, 17 years, he was dismissed, showed up in our church. Yeah, we've got some former pedophiles in our church. We've got former drug addicts in our church. We got criminals, former criminals coming to our church. One person came to us and said to me and Steve, we're serving as a co-pastors of the church. They met with us and they said to us, they said, listen, we just want you to know we're not comfortable with those kind of people coming to our church. Steve looked at me and said, Mark, would you like to respond to that? I said, yes, sir, I'd be happy to respond to that. And as lovingly as I could and as graciously as I could word it, I said to those folks, folks, I love you. We want to help you grow. But if you don't want those kind of people coming to our church, we don't want you coming to our church. Because as I recall, the Scripture says that Jesus sat down and ate with the publicans and the sinners. He didn't sit around with the self-righteous people and everybody looking down their nose. Listen, if you're a former drug addict, you're not welcome. If you've ever been involved in adultery or porneia, you can't come to this church. The business of Jesus Christ is meeting dirty, wicked, rotten sinners right where they are and getting them to the next step. And sometimes that's salvation, but it always includes progressive sanctification, the process of conforming that person to the image of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. As long as he sought the Lord, the Scripture says, God made him to prosper. You might say, well, I'm doing all that and I'm getting along, or I'm not doing all that and I'm getting along just fine. Well, wait a minute. I want to caution you. Don't confuse God's patience with God's prosperity. Say, well, I'm doing okay. Everything's working fine for me. Listen, God may just simply be showing you some mercy, withholding things that you really do deserve, or in His grace, He may be blessing you in spite of yourself, but eventually God will confront you. And if you don't face that in this day, you will face it at the judgment seat of Christ. One of the things as I thought about and thinking back to mine and Bob's relationship is the issue of stewardship. And folks, you know this, but to whom much is given, much is required. And God has blessed this church and given you many things. But the issue is not, okay, let's get comfortable. We got this new auditorium built. Everything's going okay. Let's just push the pause button and sit back and coast for a while. Now, is that biblical thinking? No, no way. Lord, You've blessed us. You've given us pastors. You've given us musicians. You've given us children's workers. You've given us youth workers. You've given us people with organizational skills. God, help us to take some steps forward and move forward for Your glory. It's interesting that God brought a godly person into the life of Uzziah to direct him, a man by the name of Zechariah, which simply means Jehovah remembers. This was a prophet in the reign of Uzziah who appears to have acted like the king's counselor, but really whom not a whole lot is known about this. Now, I want to ask you the question, do you see a pattern in Uzziah's life? Here's a mom. Her name was Jechaliah. Jehovah is able. God brings a prophet along. Jehovah remembers. And he's trying to help Uzziah and put people around him to help him make godly decisions. Let me ask you this question. Who has God brought into your life to help you make godly decisions? You got pastors here. You got elders here. You got deacons here. You got ABF teachers. You got key leaders. You've got the body of Christ. Here's my question to you. How are you responding this morning to the people that God has brought into your life? I look around this auditorium. I see some teenagers sitting in here. Folks, God has brought you parents in your life. Do you really thank God for them? Doesn't mean they're perfect. They're going to make some mistakes. But is there an appreciation? Do you view the authority structure as God wants to use that to help you become more like Jesus Christ? God's got a way of surrounding us and putting people around us to help us. But the issue is, are we listening? As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. Now, let's take a quick look at the reality of the blessings that God poured out on Uzziah. When God prospers a person, He does so in a very tangible and real way. The idea of prospering means to rush, to advance, to make progress, to succeed, to be profitable and experience prosperity. There was no doubt in this text of the blessings of God on the life of Uzziah because he did right in the sight of the Lord and continued to seek His God. I'm just going to summarize these and just mention these, but God gave him tremendous success in his wars, in his battles. And for sake of time, we're not going to discuss the ramifications of each one of these victories, though each one of the cities is very interesting. I want to point out to you the arch enemy of Israel was the Philistines, and Uzziah conquered their major cities. God gave him victory. from Gath, which was one of the five royal cities, to Ashdod, which literally means powerful. It was a major Philistine city on the Mediterranean Sea, all the way to Eloth, which was one of the major cities at the Red Sea. God helped him to conquer those major cities. He gave him conquest. The greatness of his fame and his reputation spread abroad. All the way to Egypt, the word got out, hey, this Uzziah guy, God's really blessing him. Maybe the word's getting out into your community. Hey, Cornerstone Baptist Church, that's a church that really believes what they believe and they put it into action. One of the things that amazes me as a pastor, and if you'd have told me this back in college, I really wouldn't have believed it. But to a degree, a lot of people just want to talk their Christianity. You know what I mean? It's talk, 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 yak, 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 about being a Christian. Well, is that really what God's looking for in our Christianity? What is He looking for? He's looking for people like you and me to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Not just to talk about Christ, but to model Christ, to aggressively serve our Lord. And as you do that, it's not that, oh, the big reputation of Cornerstone Baptist Church, but the reputation of God in this community, because people know, hey, those folks over at that church, they're really serious about their relationship with Christ. They're really seeking the Lord. And His greatness and His fame and His reputation spread. He began to just build some incredible buildings. While He was on the offensive abroad, He was very defensive at home. He sought the protection of Israel. The fact that He had built the wall due to His father's spiritual failure, Amaziah, should have been a reminder to him that he needed to seek the Lord. Remember, the best defense is knowing and doing the will of God. So while he's having conquest away from Jerusalem and all that, he's having victory even home because he's building up these defenses to fortify his position. God's blessing him. Man, God's blessing him. His management and prosperity of the goods, all the cattle, all the farmland, all the vineyards was evidence of God's blessings. Did you notice the phrase, for He loved the soil? You know what Uzziah was as a king? I don't know how many of them you got around here. He was a friend of the farmer. Any farmers here? People do any farming? Not this far north, I guess, huh? Well, Uzziah was a friend of the farmer. Now, that was pretty smart, because what do the farmers do? They raise the wheat. They raise the corn, right? They manage the cattle. They watch over the sheep, the shepherds, all that kind of stuff. He had a great relationship with them. He loved the soil, and God blessed him. Why did God bless him? As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. And then you think about his army. Oh my goodness. His army and its preparation. Not only the size and the numbers of valiant men and high quality men, but folks, they were very prepared. In fact, Uzziah provided offensive and defensive weapons. Verse 15 indicates that they had specialty men who developed devices that would enhance their military power. Let me ask you to push the pause button for a second. And think about Psalm 20, verse 7. Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast of the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. The point is, it's not that we ever deserve God's blessings. It's just we can be in a position of blessing as we obey and work hard for His glory. There's no doubt God blessed this man in multiple ways. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And God allows us to determine our response to His blessings. You've got a quote here. What a pity it is that wars and fightings which come from men's lust have made it necessary for cunning men to employ their skill in inventing instruments of death. Well, God was blessing Uzziah and gave him great defensive strategy and great people and great minds. Look around this auditorium. There's multiple gifted people here. Different gifts, yes. But those of you who know Christ, you have some spiritual gifts. Folks, God has blessed you. How long have you been in this building? What, 2 years? Almost 2 years? Look, God's blessing. This is God's blessings. And I hope you'll say this morning, you know, I'm not satisfied with that. It's not that we just crave God's blessings, but we want effectiveness in ministry so God will continue to bless us and we can continue to win people to Christ and equip them to be more faithful disciples. God allows us to determine our response to those blessings. Verse 16 is a key verse in this text. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16. But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Here's the lesson here. Pride leads to corruption and unfaithfulness. Pride says, I'm going to do it my way. It's all about me. Uzziah went into the temple and offered incense to the Lord. This was the second time a king had tried to do that. Saul was the first king of Israel who tried that, and it cost him his kingdom. 1 Samuel chapter 13 says this, Samuel said to Saul, you have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. A reference to David. Uzziah knew that the Lord's expectations were for a king were different than the expectations of the priest. He knew the law clearly stated that the offering of incense in the temple was a job for the priest, not the king. Uzziah's actions not only had implications to the law of God, but what Uzziah did mocked the coming king, the Messiah, who would serve as the only true king and priest. This issue that we're talking about this morning actually goes back to Genesis chapter 14, verse 18, where Melchizedek, the king of Salem, was also known as the priest of the Most High God. Folks, it would be later said of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in Hebrews chapter 5, said this, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The only other king priest besides Melchizedek was the coming Messiah. Jesus Christ was going to serve the office of the kingship and the office of the priest as one. And what Uzziah did was not only a smack against the law of Moses that God had specifically instructed him, but what Uzziah did was a smack in the face of Jesus Christ. I'm going to serve as a king. I'm going to serve as the priest. That was not Uzziah's job. That is not what Uzziah had been called of God to do. He overstepped the boundaries. He took on responsibilities that God never intended for him to have. He was to be a faithful king. He was not a priest. And Uzziah, in his pride and his arrogance, started reversing the role, just like Adam and Eve in Genesis 3. You'll be as God, knowing good and evil. And Uzziah, in essence, was rewriting the law that God had said, no, you do what I tell you to. And Uzziah's sin got him in trouble. What should be our response to our prosperity? It ought to be praise. Thanksgiving to God and faithful and further commitment to obey His Word. Here's the challenge that Uzziah missed. Keep your focus on the provider, not the prosperity. Keep your focus on the giver, not the gift. Uzziah's name should have reminded him of the truth. Uzziah literally means in the Hebrew, my strength is Jehovah. That's where his focus should have been. My strength is Jehovah. Remember the definition of his mom, and now Zechariah comes along and is instructing him and teaching him. You know what he did? He put that aside. And he started focusing more on the prosperity instead of the provider. Remember what the Lord said to the disciples, I am the vine, you are the branches, and apart from me you can do nothing. Listen folks, let's be honest. You know why God gave you a building like this and God is blessing you? And by the way, we all understand, don't we? The church is not this building. How long would it take an F5 tornado to suck this thing up? Right? What, maybe 15, 20 seconds and everything you got here is gone. This isn't the church. You are the church. The body of Christ is the church. And as we think about God's blessings, we want to put the focus on the provider. God, thank you for what you're doing here. But Lord, we know you're not done. How do we know you're not done? Because Jesus hasn't come back yet and you're still alive. I told my church the other morning, I was teaching in my ABF. We got about 70, 80 people in that class. And was telling him about some of our senior saints that was serving at a recent February conference that we had. We had about 1,400 people there. Some of your people were at that conference. And I talked to them about some of those people serving the Lord. And I said, you know what? And I hope it doesn't happen this morning. But I said, I hope I die teaching the Word of God. I'm just standing in the pulpit. I'm standing in the ABF. And just right there, boom, God takes me. I mean, what a joy, what a delight to go down serving God, right? Isn't that what you want to do? You want to die serving Jesus, right? I don't want to die sitting around doing nothing. Serving the Lord. Advancing the cause of Christ. God, I need your help. I need your wisdom. I need your strength. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Folks, let me say this to you. When you get out of the seat of praise and you get into the seat of pride, look out. Uzziah got out of the seat of praise and seeking God, and he sat down on the seat of pride. Choices have consequences, and the law of the harvest kicks in. But because God is a God of grace, God gives us opportunities to repent. I want you to notice very carefully, God uses people to help us change. He brought Azariah along. Azariah's name means Jehovah has helped. He was a priest. It was his responsibility to offer the incense. And this man Azariah was wise, and he took 80 people with him. Valiant men, strong men. And remember, Zechariah, Jehovah remembers. And Jechaliah, Jehovah is able. And he brings these people along to help him. Uzziah didn't listen. He came in and basically told Uzziah, get out of the sanctuary. Get out of here, man. You're doing wrong. You're not being obedient to God. He did the right thing. He went to him and he confronted him. Uzziah didn't listen. And so if we don't listen, usually God takes us to the next level. And the next level is God used his judgment. And just in short, let me say that leprosy is frequently throughout the Scriptures equated from a biblical perspective with sin. And the leprosy overtook him. Look at the result in verse 21. He had to live in a separate house. Cut off from the people, no longer able to enter the sanctuary. He basically lost his kingship and his honor from the Lord. Matthew Henry made this comment. He said, if presumptuous men will not be made to hear their error by the judgment of God's mouth, they should be made to see it by the judgment of his hand. Uzziah didn't listen. Folks, I want to challenge you as a church to listen to God's reproof. Listen to the people around you when they come and they admonish you and encourage you to do the right thing. God allows us finally to write our own epitaph. Look at verses 22 to 23. Verse 23 says, he is a leper. He's a leper. Folks, that was not a compliment. That was a label that was stamped on Uzziah's life. He's a leper. Separated from his kingship, separated from his kingdom, and eventually buried in the ground. Think about what could have been said about this guy. Think about where he was. Such a position of blessing. The military conquest, the land, the protection at home, all of God's blessings. It could have been said of him like was said of Abraham. Abraham was a friend of God. Enoch walked with God. David was a man after God's own heart. John's the beloved apostle. It could have been said of Uzziah, he was a great man of God, blessed by God because he sought the Lord. Instead, what does it end up? Uzziah, a leper. He wrote his own epitaph. He made the choice. We can't lose sight of the fact that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Let me remind you just of a couple of verses in closing. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another. Isaiah 48:11, for my own sake and for my own sake I will act. For how can my name be profaned and my glory I will not give to another? A key verse for all of us to remember is to draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep and let your laughter be turned into mourning. Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord and He will exalt you. So what does all this mean? Well, We need to be doing everything we can for the glory of God. It means we need to recognize that however God blesses us, it's because of His sovereign choice. But my friends, you can be in a position of God's blessings. It's not that you merit it. You'll never deserve it. It's all of grace. But yet, if you will choose to be obedient and seek the Lord, God will bless you. It should be said, and we want to be said, of this church, as long as Cornerstone Baptist Church sought the Lord, God prospered them. Is that your prayer today? Is that your desire? What do you need to do as a result of what we've just talked about? What do you need to change in your life? What do you need to stop doing and put off and start doing and replace it with obedience to God's Word? And that's for every person here, from the youngest person to the oldest person. This includes everybody. As long as they sought the Lord, God prospered them. My challenge to you this morning is, be a church that corporately and individually seeks the Lord. As long as you seek the Lord, God will make you to prosper. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to have a trial. Sometimes God brings those trials along to stretch your faith. But I will say this, the norm is this. You obey and God will bless you. You disobey and God will deal with you. Let's be a church that would be people known as those people are seeking the Lord and God's blessing them. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you help us to take this passage, to take the life of Uzziah and learn some things from him. As long as he sought you, you prospered him. And he sought you for many years and you prospered him. But then in his prosperity, he got his eyes off of the provider and focused on the provision. Lord, my prayer for this church this morning would be that they would keep their eyes and their focus on the provider. That they would not get caught up in the buildings and things, but Lord, that it would be about you and about reaching people. And that they would be in a position where you could richly bless them. God, I pray that we'll all develop a holy discontent for where we are. And realize that this church and every church needs to continue to grow in our outreach, in our evangelism, in our discipleship, in our showing love one toward another. God, may every person take the spoon that may be in their pocket this morning and wanting to get a taste of the kingdom and live in such a way that it would be said of this church, Cornerstone Baptist Church, seeks the Lord and God prospers them. We pray in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen.
Will you stand with me? The choice we have is the seat of pride or the seat of humility. And every day that we wake up, there is a war that's raging inside of our hearts. Am I going to live today as if I don't need God, as if I got it all together? Or am I going to be honest before God and open to Him? Recognize I have to have a tender heart before Him. Mark, I appreciate that text and appreciate what you have challenged us with. We need this every single day. As we sing together, I'm certain there's things that the Spirit of God has just really confronted you with today. Please don't stick your mind upon the many things you're doing this afternoon and miss dealing with what God is directing in your heart right now. When our service is done, we have counselors here at the front who will talk to you if you want to pray with somebody today or I'm going to follow up with somebody about some of the stuff that you have heard. This is why we're here. Please give us a call. Give us an opportunity to talk with you.